Welcome to Issues in Education, a nationwide program dedicated to moral and academic excellence in America. And now, here are your hosts for Issues in Education, Bob and Jerry Boyd.
Oh, have we got a program for you today?
We sure do.
Listen carefully. When you think of the men who have changed the history of mankind, you might think of men like Jesus Christ, George Washington, Freud, Darwin, Napoleon, or others. But in the book, Seven Men Who Ruled the World from Their Grave, Dave Breeze did not put in Napoleon or several others because although they ruled more of Europe than others, their rule was limited to basically their lifespan. The more permanent rulers of the world are the men who ruled the world much longer than military conquerors because their ideas continued to control men long after the men who thought the ideas had died. Men of ideas such as Marx or Freud have controlled the thoughts and destinies of men for much longer than men of military conquest such as Caesar. Men such as Darwin have had a much greater influence over our lives today than men of conquest like Napoleon. So from that perspective, our guest today could also be considered one who will rule the world long after he's dead. But in this case, this is not what he wants. He wants to change the ideas he helped initiate because he doesn't want to be guilty of helping to destroy our civilization. How would you like to be remembered as someone who had ideas so persuasive and so harmful that they helped bring an end to an entire civilization? And it's possible to end this civilization. Consider this, the end of this civilization, and being the one who helped bring it about.
You need to listen carefully to this interview. This is a story that's been censored or distorted in the secular media.
Today's guest, along with Carl Rogers and Abraham Maslow, helped initiate ideas so persuasive, so foundational, that if they continue as they have been, they could bring an end to our civilization. Our guest has admitted that what he did was wrong. Now he's on a campaign to stop or at least slow down the results, the devastating results his ideas have had on our nation. This story has to get out. The public is being deceived by a media that refuses to tell the truth, because they have so bought into the error that our guest helped to start, they believe it themselves, and they don't want to change. They won't even listen to one who helped start the idea that is killing us.
How could anybody really destroy a civilization?
What's it like to live in a nation that is dying? A nation doesn't suddenly explode in chaos. A civilization doesn't suddenly end overnight. It takes time. Gradually, this nation has headed down the same road as other civilizations like Rome and Greece. We can see the same elements, in fact, in America that led to the collapse of so many other civilizations before us, pressing down on us. Many in our own ranks have bought the fatal idea that we can continue as a civilized people and alter the laws God has built into nature. But nations and civilizations cannot violate natural law and continue to exist. Nature is not relative.
That's right. If you violate the law of gravity by jumping off a skyscraper, you will die.
Gravity is unaffected by tears, remorse, love, or forgiveness. The laws of nature are inflexible. They are permanent. We as a nation have been violating God's natural law, and one of the men who helped plant seeds that has led to our destruction is our guest, Dr. W.R. Colson.
Dr. Colson is a psychologist and an author and teacher who helped introduce psychological techniques into classroom education.
His most lethal idea was the idea that morality is not absolute but situational. Dr. Colson, what can you tell people to undo the seeds of destruction that are growing so rapidly in our culture?
Well, you know, it's a good question. It's simply an empirical scientific concern that findings from scientific psychology in the 60s have not been adequately reported, and the public is being deceived. So that as an empirical scientist, I'm simply trying to set the record straight. It was a charge that I got from Abe Maslow's widow. She asked me a couple of years ago, she said, hurry, she said, I don't have that much longer to live myself. Her husband had died in 1970, and she said, this story has to get out. She said, my husband just threw up his hands at what had been made of his theories of self-actualization. It was so misused and misunderstood, she said. And then when I read his later works, the last things that he was doing before he died in 1970, I found indeed that he thought that his theories were being applied to harm children.
Your ideas, Dr. Colson, along with Maslow and Rogers, got into the schools and forever changed the way we educate our youth. Aristotle said the fate of empires depends on the education of youth. The future of our country is determined by what ideas we teach the youth of our nation. And if we don't tell them that absolutes exist, the seeds are planted that will grow up to destroy our civilization.
In fact, we don't tell children that the red light means stop and the green light means go, but even more important is that you make up your own mind for yourself and that you create your own values and make your own choices. We tell them effectively that, in fact, that's an absolute. When it says red, you don't have a choice, you stop. And if we can't acknowledge that truth, then in fact we're unable to live in a civilized society. There will be no more civilization.
To teach a youngster that a red light means go is to help him kill himself. For a society to teach things contrary to the law of nature is surely to help it destroy itself.
The law is absolute until it's changed. And Mother Nature is screaming at us now, see, I told you, you can't do this thing. You can't have sex before marriage and outside of marriage. And children can't have drugs. It's just not possible. It's absolutely forbidden. But people have gotten confused about words like forbidden, and they think that we're talking Nazism.
We've become a culture that actually shuns absolutes, and authority has been deemed dictatorial Gestapo tactics. Dr. Coulson, you were instrumental in bringing psychology into the classroom. Psychology is okay in the clinic, but it's actually harmful in the classroom.
It's not been to the advantage of students for their teachers to become amateur psychologists.
You were one who planted the idea of replacing the traditional educational model where the teacher is seen as an authority with a new type of education. The teacher is seen as a facilitator or amateur psychologist who simply enables his students to explore their feelings.
I want to say, as somebody who had a hand in devising the whole rotten scheme in the first place, that the ideas that your children are getting in the name of decision-making and in the name of getting in touch with feelings, the approach called affective education, in the name of those ideas, that your children are being pulled away from their ability to support themselves in the future. Too many young people have been disabled by this affective humanistic education, and you don't want that to happen. It's not doing any favor to children to be so trusting of a philosophy of education that has not a shred of support in empirical research. And that ultimately is my concern. It's not as a religious figure that I talk to your audiences, Bob, but rather as an empirical scientist who's been paying attention over the years to the actual researched results of these theories. And the research indicates that, in fact, we ought to abandon these theories and go to a more directive kind of education. There's simply no call for continuing non-directive education when our children are turning out to be unable to know where in the world they are, and they can't add and subtract as quickly as children in other countries.
That's an excellent point, Dr. Coulson. The humanistic or atheistic approach to education won't work. It's a proven failure. We need to abandon it and return to traditional education that teaches children the basic information they need to get a job or go to college instead of undercutting the student's belief system. Your colleague and one of the other men who planted seeds of destruction, Abraham Maslow, admitted that he was undercutting the established faith of his students and trying to indoctrinate them into his atheism.
Yeah, no, that's very true. You know, Maslow's own atheism is pretty important in this because he doesn't have religious reasons for opposing it, but those who do have religious reasons for opposing it should be all the more firm in their opposition. Maslow wrote an interesting thing in his journals. His journals were published in 1979, and unfortunately they've gone out of print, though good college libraries will have them available. But in the 60s, he spoke at a Catholic college in Massachusetts, and afterward he couldn't sleep because his talk was so well received. And so he got up and he started writing in his journal, and this is what he wrote. He said, "They should not applaud me, they should attack me." And he said, "If they knew what I was doing, they would attack me." Because what he was doing was trying to undercut the basis of their faith, namely their belief in God, and substitute for it his own faith of that moment, which was belief in the self. And Maslow wanted opposition, and unfortunately, he didn't get it. So now we're confronted with a situation in which a hierarchy of needs that Abraham Maslow never intended to be taught to children is being taught to children. I have an overhead projection that I sometimes show to my audiences are from a kindergarten teacher's workbook, where right up there at the top is the exultant child who is saying, "Look at me, look at how wonderful I am." And really what it comes down to is nobody can tell me what to do because I'm a self. Well, this is an example of a child who has become virtually unteachable.
An unteachable child, paid for by your tax dollars because of what they learned at school, and because the schools picked up a very persuasive and exceedingly harmful idea from several key psychologists, one of whom is our guest, Dr. W.R. Colson, who is confessing his part in planting the seeds of destruction that are flourishing today, because children are taught that they are the exultant child, the almighty self, who needs to answer to no one except himself. Our schools are mass-producing these little barbarians who grow up with a zeal to pull down the Christian strongholds and do away with the Bible and destroy all concepts of God from society. The damage is almost inconceivable, but at least we have Dr. Frankenstein here trying to corner the monster he helped to build before it destroys our entire civilization.
Dr. Colson, in the 60s, weren't your ideas responsible for introducing sexual promiscuity under the so-called guise of safe sex and also drug experimentation?
Well, now, let's see. I have to say I hope not. I don't think I was thinking clearly in the 60s. Here's what I was on the side of, Bob. I was on the side of the idea that in fact, individuals can be trusted to make their own decisions for themselves. I have to admit that we succeeded in destroying our share of educational institutions. Carl Rogers and I, in 1967, he was the principal investigator, as it's called in science, and I was the project coordinator, went into a Catholic school system on the West Coast where we tried to get all the teachers involved in encounter groups, and to encourage them to do these encounter groups with their own students. Well, it turned out to be a disaster. That school system collapsed, and the college where we did most of our work closed its doors because the parents would no longer support it with their tuition, because what they saw was that their children were learning an alien faith. They were not learning the Catholic faith, which is what these Catholic parents had wanted, but rather they were learning the faith of humanism, which not only excludes Catholic dogma, but it excludes the need for God. It argues that God is within. Well, I wasn't smart enough to see that, in fact, that contradicted my own Catholic faith, which I continued to practice, and I'm afraid I wasn't smart enough to see the implications for children, that if they could make choices for themselves, that included the choice to do drugs and the choice to have sex. That movement had not yet begun when we started our project, and later when I saw the implications of it, the children would be led into experimentation with drugs and sex, that's when I pulled out. My problem is that I pulled out much too quietly. I'm hollering to holy heaven now, going around the country saying, beware these ideas. They were tested and found deficient in the 1960s. They led not only to drug and sex experimentation, but at Esalen Institute, which was a kind of sister institution to our own Western Behavioral Sciences Institute, they led to a whole string of suicides. So that in that sense, further suicide should be expected unless we can get schools to drop this inadequate and inappropriate approach to education.
So you feel somewhat responsible for the shutting down of the Immaculate Heart schools.
Oh, yeah. You know, people have said, well, you just feel guilty. And I say, yeah, I feel guilty. But, you know, guilt is a necessary and useful feeling. That's how we know when we're doing the wrong thing is when we do it, we feel guilty.
And Dr. Colson knows about guilt. He's felt guilt because he's been guilty. But part of his repentance is confessing what he did with the hope that the damage can be lessened. Schools drive a wedge between parent and child by teaching children to make up their own minds about sexual exploration and drug experimentation. These are options that parents would never offer their children.
And schools say it's up to the children to decide for themselves what's right and wrong.
The schools say it's up to the children, but Dr. Colson, aren't there limits to what the children can decide on?
They say that, Bob, but they don't really mean it because they don't want the kids to make up their own minds about whether or not to attend the school. You know, they don't say make up your own mind whether or not to steal the principal's automobile. Where the school's own interests are concerned, they have no... they have no intention to encourage the kids to make up their own mind. They're willing to say this is right and this is wrong. It's just that on matters of life and death, they seem to take a different position. And I think it's not a matter of malice. I know it's not a matter of malice. I think it's just that they haven't thought it through.
Matters of life and death, such as drug use or cigarette smoking, the school says it's up to the children to decide to use or not to use.
Well, I say that that message is implicit. Nobody says that explicitly, but the fact that the biggest of these programs is co-sponsored by the tobacco industry ought to alert mothers and fathers and the school administrators and teachers to the fact that, in fact, that lesson is implicit in the method, that if you decide to smoke, then you're responsible for it. And then the children have to judge for themselves whether or not it's dangerous, and the only direction they're getting is from the dealers themselves, because the mothers and fathers have been besieged by the tobacco industry, which covets children, of course, for customers, because adults won't start to smoke. They've been beset by the industry with a parent training program, a free parent training program called Helping Youth Decide, which tries to persuade them that, in fact, it's bad psychology to tell children what to do. And what this really means is you teach them to make decisions. We'll take it from there. The tobacco industry intends entirely to tell the children what to do.
Isn't it interesting the tobacco industry tries to convince parents not to tell their children what to do? The Bible commands parents to train up a child in the way he should go. The parent has been designated by God to direct their children and teach them what to do. And here's the dope pusher saying through curriculum, believed and supported by psychologists and educators, that it's in the best interests of the children not to get guidance from parents or teachers. It's really obvious, Dr. Colson, when you see who's behind this campaign, and yet so many gullible parents go along with it, thus making their children easy prey for the manufacturers of cigarettes and birth control products. The advertising campaigns that lure teenagers into lifelong bad habits simply by inviting them to be a man, be a real man like the Marlboro Man or a Virginia Slims woman.
The most successful campaign in advertising history is acknowledged as the Marlboro campaign, and it's voiced entirely in the imperative. It tells the children exactly what to do. Come to where the flavor is. Come to Marlboro country. And these people have the gall to be offering a method of education to parents which says it's bad psychology to tell kids what to do.
For sure, the tobacco manufacturers are not shy about giving direction. And if parents and teachers don't give direction, guess which direction their kids will go? We have a real crisis in our nation. In fact, we face the greatest threat to our civilization since the barbarians invaded Rome. One of the ones who helped to plant the seeds of destruction that we're facing today is our guest, Dr. Colson, a psychologist who confesses that what he did was wrong.
Oh, you betcha. I'm making a career out of apologizing. I just got back from a week in Ohio and Kentucky, and if anybody wants me to come to their town and apologize, I'll certainly try to do it. I don't want to sound like a masochist. I just want to say that, in fact, somebody has to holler about these things who has some scientific background in them, because the parents are finding themselves dismissed. And it's going to be a tragedy not only for the families of those parents, but it's going to be a tragedy for all of American society.
Really, it's not just our little religious concern. We're concerned about the whole nation, and it will be a tragedy for the entire nation. Parents are dismissed if they complain. Administrators are taught to keep parents from knowing. But if parents do catch on, the administrators deny whatever it is they're complaining about and tell them that they're the only ones complaining.
And the parent is often treated as just an obstacle to be gotten out of the way. Nothing more than a right-wing fanatic.
Exactly right. And the media goes along with the administrators because they've all been trained to believe what they've learned at school.
The increase in teen suicides, teen pregnancies, drug usage, abortion, all these are just symptoms of sin in a sick and dying society.
So whenever lay people try to go to the heart of the problem, they're labeled as religious fundamentalists, and they're said to just be alarming the nation.
All the problems which are typically condemned as just the alarm of a right-wing religious organization or two. These are not right-wing religious organizations that are hollering about this now. There are fellow scientists of mine who are saying that the whole idea of decision-making for kids and affective-styled education instead of academic education has turned out to be a disaster. I'm quoting Robert Coles, the Harvard psychiatrist, who said not only was it a disaster, he said it was an absolute disaster.
A disaster that you've taken partial credit for. Dr. Colson, you've provided some very valuable testimony as a social engineer who helped to initiate, as you put it, the whole rotten mess that now threatens to bring down our culture, as the Christian worldview most Americans hold is being challenged by an atheist worldview that's been promoted in our schools.
Those people who are pushing this movement and refuse to back off even though the research results are against them, I think that they're saying, you had your chance. For 2,000 years, this world ran on a Judeo-Christian morality, on a God-fearing morality, and now it's the time for the rest of us. And I think that they can be characterized as having New Age interests, and I think that they think that you don't have a right to speak anymore because your morality has been given a chance and now it's their turn. Yeah. So they really are trying to impose a worldview on your children. It is so contrary to the American democratic tradition. We ought to be truly a pluralistic society in which many different approaches to the questions of upbringing and moral prosperity in the world are honored. But instead, these people want everybody to drink from the same cup. They want only one elixir mixed for everybody. And the results are just as bad as anybody could have predicted who was in on the founding of this country. We are a country that honors diversity, but no longer is the diversity represented by many of your listeners being honored in our public school philosophy. It is that mothers and fathers are finding that the schools are turning their backs on good sense and common sense, and there is even a teacher's manual for an organization called Quest that sponsors a program called Skills for Adolescents that's in many schools, where the teachers are told, if the parents don't agree with you, then turn your back and walk away.
Wow, that's incredible. The very institutions that are supported by the parents turn their own children against the parents who support these institutions. When I go on to one of the very expensive University of California campuses and I see these beautiful white multi-story buildings surrounded by manicured lawns, flowers, and trees, and I think of the salaries of teachers and administrators and staff and the billions of dollars spent by parents and others who, for the most part, believe in God and America, but whose children have been turned against their beliefs and the society that supports these institutions. Dr. Coulson, is there any hope at all?
Well, it's going to have to be parents because, of course, they're the ones who are most responsible for the well-being now and in the future of their own children. The problem is that parents are going to find it very difficult to persuade school administrators who have been reared on Maslow and Rogers and Dewey and Freud that these programs are not good. So I would suggest that parents organize. There are organizations of parents like Citizens for Excellence in Education, Concerned Women of America. They tend mostly to be Christian groups, but not all of them are, and there can be other forms of opposition to this kind of education mounted. The Eagle Forum is another very good source of help.
Parents becoming organized is vitally important. For any information on Citizens for Excellence in Education, please write to us or call area code 714-546-5931. That number again, area code 714-546-5931. Dr. Coulson, you have given us tremendous insights into the problems we face as a nation. And for that, we're very grateful to you.
Well, thank you, Bob. It's been a delight to talk with you, and I hope that I've been able to be helpful.
You've been extremely helpful, Dr. Coulson. Dr. W.R. Coulson has two PhDs. He's a clinical psychologist and author of many books in psychology. He was one of the three men, along with Carl Rogers and Abraham Maslow, who introduced clinical psychological ideas into education. And he now sees the harm that these theories have done, and he's confessed and apologizes for his part in bringing these seeds of destruction to our nation. The Roman civilization was so weakened on the inside that it became vulnerable to invading barbarians, Goths and Vandals.
And today we face the greatest threat to civilization since the barbarians invaded Rome.
Our great civilization may not yet be ended, but the enemy is within the gates. Chuck Coulson warned in his book Against the Night that, quote, we have bred them in our families and trained them in our schools. They inhabit our legislatures, our courts, and our film studios, and our churches. Most of them are attractive and pleasant. Their ideas are persuasive and subtle. Yet these men and women threaten our most cherished institutions and our very character as a people. Today's barbarians wear pinstriped suits instead of animal skins and wield briefcases rather than spears.
The crisis is not political or military. It is moral and spiritual.
That's right. And so is a solution. That's why parents, especially Christian parents, are the ones who can offer viable answers.
This is really important. The fate of our nation, the fate of our nation depends on the education of our youth. The future of America is determined by what ideas we teach the youth of our nation.
And here's a letter illustrating some of the ideas, the seeds of destruction that are being taught to our youth. Listen, this woman writes, I am the mother of three children who have participated in the various Quest programs. Last year, I became highly concerned about the content material found in Quest when my 12-year-old daughter was taking Skills for Adolescence. She came home one day and bluntly declared to her father and me, quote, I don't have to answer to you, God, my teachers, or anyone. I now have the confidence to accomplish anything I choose to do.
That is shocking. That is really sad. A culture cannot last very long unless the people share some very basic values.
That's so true, Jerry, and these basic values are being eroded. The scripture, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord," is not just some sweet little devotional comment, but it's a natural law. It's a political statement, a truth to live by. Destroy the soul of a nation and you destroy the nation. And the seeds have been planted for the destruction of this nation. But our hope is in Christ, who works through His church. The church must awaken to its vital, God-given mission in our society, which goes far beyond its own parking lot. The church needs to assume its God-given responsibility to offer more than entertainment and worldly success. The church must realize it alone has the power of God to transform this nation and the people in it to be salt and light in preserving our civilization. Please pray with me. Oh Lord, please awaken your people and put them into action as you commanded them to be salt and light in their communities. Help us, Lord, to unite in love for the sake of this country. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you would like a cassette copy of today's excellent program, please ask for tape number 175, Seeds of Destruction. That's tape number 175, Seeds of Destruction, for your donation of any amount to this ministry. And may the Lord encourage you by this message today and motivate you to really be the salt and light as He has commanded.
If you would like to write us or you would like to request an audio tape of today's program, write to Issues in Education, P.O. Box 3200, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. That address once again is Issues in Education, P.O. Box 3200, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Please join us again next week at the same time for Issues in Education.